Cisco Brewers is tucked away in a complex of small buildings near the center of the island. During the last 20 years, the company has grown into a highly successful year-round operation making original craft beers, specialty wines, and various types of liquors.
Pumping whiskey out of the barrels so that we can put it into a tank for bottling.
Owner Randy Hudson stands near a group of large fermenters and oak barrels as workers label and pack wine bottles for shipment.
To sum up what we do here is almost impossible in any sort of short amount of time because we seem to just have a curiosity or an interest in anything that is fermented.
Cisco employs 55 people, including 5 sales reps who market their products up and down the East Coast. Hudson describes his company as an incubation zone.
We try different things. If it works, we adopt it and make more of it. If it doesn't work out, we move on to the next thing that interests us.
Years ago, Nantucketers gradually turned away from manufacturing as tourism began to take hold. But present-day manufacturers like Cisco Brewers readily embrace the island's seasonal population and find ways to use it to their advantage.
Here, the huge overwhelming positive is the island itself.
Cisco capitalizes on the tourist season with wine tastings, tours, live music, and a brew pub. Visitors sipping craft beers on the patio are often unaware that just nearby is a full-scale brewing operation.
I don't think people understand us as being a manufacturer, really. They look at us and think we're a bar that makes our own beer.
Behind the informal atmosphere is a heavily regulated business. Cisco holds 16 different federal and state permits, including a farmer distiller's permit.
If you think about it, brewing, venting, and distilling are all agricultural endeavors because all alcohol comes from a plant base.
Farming was one of the first ways Nantucketers made a living. Then came whaling, Nantucket's first real manufacturing effort. Betsy Tyler is director of the Nantucket Historical Society's Research Library. She says the main brick building of today's whaling museum was once an oil and candle factory.
They actually processed the whale oil that came back to the island. It was a complicated and lengthy process to get the pure oil that they sold.
The whaling industry began to collapse around the 1840s, and other events like the Great Fire, the Gold Rush, and the Civil War further depleted Nantucket's shrinking population. During this time, a number of manufacturers sprang up on the island. One was a silk factory.
They had steam engine and looms, and they were going to produce silk. It lasted for a few years.
There also was a straw hat factory, which employed about 300 women.
And it's now the Dreamland Theater. That was the straw hat factory.
After the Civil War, Nantucket was discovered as a tourist destination, and the island began catering to its new visitors. The Nantucket of today is a different place from the days of silk and straw hat factories. But in a red brick building near the head of Main Street, Nantucket Looms carries on the tradition of manufacturing by hand.
We do everything from throws to blankets and scarves and apparel things and placemats and napkins.
That's Nantucket Looms owner Becky Periner. She vacationed on Nantucket with her family in the 70s. After studying textile design at the Rhode Island School of Design, she came back and took over Nantucket Looms 2 years ago.
Everything we do is a small run, and it's pretty much one of a kind. You know, it might be just one particular warp of blue and white striped blankets that you're never going to see again, or the combination of the colors of cashmere that we use.
The company's looms clatter above the Nantucket Looms retail store, where their creations are sold along with the work of other local artisans and craftspeople. At the back of the store is a sign pointing up the stairs to the second floor weaving studio.
People who come into the store, they hear us upstairs and they say, "What's going on? Is there an aerobics class?" And it's like, "No, it's just the weavers at work upstairs." And then when they come up, they really, really appreciate the craft that much more because they see it being done right here. It's not done overseas or anything like that.
Brittany Bennett is one of 4 weavers at the Main Street location. She sets up a pattern on a 30-year-old loom she operates with foot pedals.
Each weaver gets to see their project through. They start it, they dress the loom, they thread the loom, they weave them all, and they finish them all. And so that usually is about a 2 weeks process for each project that we do.
Owner Becky Periner designs all the patterns for each run and says they market their products primarily through their website and word of mouth from customers. Periner starts up a small electric-powered machine called a bobbin winder.
This is probably the most mechanized thing in our studio. It's the only thing that's plugged in.
Other than the electric bobbin winder, Nantucket Looms is an all-manual operation. It's labor-intensive, but Periner says it's ultimately more rewarding.
Every single inch of what we're doing is looked at by the human eye and the skilled artist that's making it. So it's a nice kind of step back.
Nantucket has long since moved on from its manufacturing past and is known today as an exclusive vacation spot attracting some 400,000 visitors annually. But a handful of present-day manufacturers still thrive on this small island and say they couldn't imagine being anywhere else.